Next Sunday night, I'd like to make reference to the grace of giving and our part in reaching this world for Jesus Christ. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, let's read verses 1 and 2, and then we will pray. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. Let's bow for prayer. O God, we are thankful for the opportunity to worship together collectively in this place for such a time as this. And we ask, O God in heaven, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you would lead us into truth and understanding. O God, enlarge our hearts in reaching this world for thee. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Our Lord Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." The Great Commission is our mission. How can we possibly go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? How are we to have any hope of that? As you and I realize, we can only be in one place at one time. Well, the means that God has chosen is through the support of missionaries, supporting and getting behind those that are willing to go. So by supporting missionaries, we can be involved in preaching the gospel throughout the whole world. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9 and moving to chapter 10, there are some principles concerning the principle of giving towards missions. Now, strictly speaking, within these chapters, giving towards a missionary cause is referred to as the grace of giving, a grace of God. Note then, verse number 1, it reads, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit or to witness of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia." So this idea of giving to missionaries, to giving towards reaching the rest of the world of Jesus Christ, in the realm of giving, it's referred to as grace giving. Now, the background of these chapters is that the Apostle Paul is trying to encourage the church at Corinth to give a missionary offering, an offering to help the believers in Jerusalem that are suffering with poverty. Famine in that area had led to many of God's people on the verge of starving to death. And the Apostle Paul is trying to encourage this church, the church at Corinth, to do what they said they would do and to send an offering to help this ministry there in Jerusalem. So the Apostle Paul is trying to encourage them to do what they have said they would do. A year has passed and God's people here have been a little bit slow off the mark. So here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9 and leading to chapter 10, the Apostle Paul is trying to exhort these believers to give towards this missionary need, this need there in Jerusalem. So let's note some principles concerning giving to missions from chapter 8 and, Lord willing, chapter 9 next Sunday night. But for this evening, as we study chapter 8, I'd like for us to note a number of principles concerning giving, the grace of giving, giving towards missions, for the ultimate goal of reaching this world for Jesus Christ. And as it was beautifully stressed this morning, our fellowship is in the gospel, is it not? And that's our point of commonness. And as we band together for the sake of the gospel, we can do so much more as opposed to alone. If we would band together and collectively get a vision for world evangelism, and if we would be prepared to do our part, and we would give as God has called us to give, we can do so much more collectively, the fellowship of the gospel. So Paul is trying to exhort this church at Corinth to give this missionary offering, that the people there at Jerusalem are in need. They're in great need. And the first principle I'd like for us to note this evening is there in verse number 1, where the Apostle Paul, in trying to encourage these believers to be involved in the grace of giving, to give towards this missionary need, he makes reference to the witness. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, or to witness, the grace of God bestowed or upon the churches of Macedonia. So the Apostle Paul wisely, first and foremost, in trying to encourage these this church family to give towards this missionary need, he makes reference to those that are an example in this area of giving, the grace of giving. And the Apostle Paul makes reference to the churches of Macedonia, or the churches of modern-day Europe that were in existence in that day. The church at Philippi, the church of the Thessalonians, and the church at Berea. And the Apostle Paul said that I'd like to encourage you from the example set by the churches there of the region of Macedonia. So Paul the Apostle was trying to use their example to motivate the Corinthians to be involved in the grace of giving. Our faithfulness can become an inspiration to others. The Apostle Paul said to young Timothy, "Be thou an example." Examples can be inspirational. And as we are involved in giving to missions as a church family collectively, this can be a source of encouragement to others to be involved in giving to missions likewise. We need to be a spiritual example. We need to give evidence of the fact that we believe the Bible and we worship the one and true and living God. And this area of the grace of giving, or giving to missions, is no exception. We should be an example. And I trust and pray that we as a church family, Metropolitan Baptist Church, is that example in giving to missions, that we can be an inspiration to others. And what a privilege that is to be an example that might inspire others to give to missions and give for the glory of God. So the Apostle Paul rightfully and wisely said to the church of Corinth, let me take note, point out to you the example of the churches of Macedonia. And then he goes on and gives clarity to their great example. Note there in verse number 2, he went on to say, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality or their generosity. So the Apostle Paul makes reference to these believers within the churches of Macedonia, that even though they were not made up of wealthy congregations, these were a persecuted people. So even though they were poor materially, and even though they were suffering greater affliction, yet their giving was amazing. They were very generous in their giving towards the needs of others. So he uses this as an example, and he shares with the church at Corinth that these Macedonian Christians, though poor and suffering, yet they were very, very generous. See, giving, the grace of giving, is a spiritual discipline. It is not just a physical exercise. The Bible teaches us that we're to guard our hearts, for out of our heart are the issues of life. And the Bible teaches us that even though these churches there of Macedonia, these churches were in poverty. Note the fact that it makes reference to deep poverty. These believers were not wealthy individuals, and they were experiencing great affliction, yet they joyfully and generously gave of what they had. And what an example that was. What an inspiration that was for the church at Corinth, to know that in spite of circumstances, we can still be involved in reaching this world for Jesus Christ. And your excuse might be, well, Pastor, I don't have much. Well, that is not the issue. The issue is your heart. The heart of the issue is an issue of the heart. And that's why the Apostle Paul wisely makes reference to these believers there within the church at Philippi and Thessalonica and Berea. And these congregations were not made up of people that were wealthy. No, they were poor materially, and they were suffering affliction, but yet they joyfully gave generously of what they had. So giving is an issue of the heart, first and foremost. It's not a matter of your bank account. And it's been scientifically proven that wealthy people are stingy. They're stingy. The most generous people in the world are not wealthy people. Wealthy people are stingy. Those that seemingly give, they give very little compared to what they can really give. Generosity prevails from those that don't have much or do not or are not wealthy. I just read the other day that James Packer is trying to get residency in Israel. Why? Because he wants to dodge some taxes. Yes, clever businessman. A clever businessman. So he's trying to work out a way through his lawyers how he can become a resident of Israel. Is it because he loves Israel? Of course not. It's all a money game. See, wealthy people are stingy people. That's generally how it works. And the example is given here by the Apostle Paul. Now, I like to think there are some exceptions. If there are, there ain't many. I'm sure there's not many. But the issue of the fact is that generosity is really not an issue of how much you have in your bank account. Generosity is an issue of the heart. And this is what the Apostle Paul is trying to convey to the church at Corinth. Stop making excuses as to why you cannot give your offering to help this work there in Jerusalem. The issue is an issue of the heart. And then he said, well, look at the churches of Macedonia. They're poor, they're suffering great affliction, yet they joyfully give generously the cause of Jesus Christ. And note then verse number 3, he goes on to read, for to their power I bear record, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. So once again, the Apostle Paul tries to inspire the church at Corinth to give this missions offering by referring to the churches of Macedonia that have very little and are suffering affliction, but yet they give generously to the work of God. And then in verse number 3, the Apostle Paul testifies to the fact that these believers of the churches of Macedonia stretched out in giving. These Christians were willing to stretch out for the Lord Jesus Christ. They wanted to do more for the cause of Christ. And beloved, this evening, God wants us to stretch spiritually for the cause of Jesus Christ. There are more souls that need a Saviour. And there are some 265 recognized nations in the world that need a Saviour. And we had the opportunity once again to focus upon that and do our part. And as we consider our part in the fellowship of the gospel, may God stretch us for the glory of God. As I've often said, elastic bands are made to stretch, and God has created us to stretch us for His glory. Are you willing to be stretched for the cause of world evangelism? Well, the Apostle Paul said that these believers there in Macedonia, they were willing to be stretched to their ability, to their power, I bear record, and yet beyond their ability, or willing of themselves. And note then, before praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. The grace of giving gives us an opportunity to serve. Their giving would help God's servants in this city of Jerusalem. When we give to missions, it helps God's servants. As we support each of our missionaries, it helps them in their ministry for the glory of God. We co-labor with them, do we not? We partner with them. We're in fellowship, the fellowship of the gospel. We're serving them. And we must understand that we are co-laborers, and we need to be co-laborers with our missionaries, these ones that are willing to go, these ones that are willing to be in Mauritius, these ones that are willing to be in Japan and Papua New Guinea and the Solomon Islands, and the list goes on and on. They're willing to be there, and we have an opportunity to co-labor with them. And as we support them, then we're ministering to the saints. And the Apostle Paul here, in trying to encourage the church at Corinth to give this missionary offering, he was trying to encourage them to consider, hey, your offering is not some mechanical exercise. It'll actually help people, real people, flesh and blood, like you, that have feelings like you, that think like you, that have needs like you, that get thirsty and are hungry, just like you. You're ministering to real people. So he's trying to encourage the church of Corinth. The grace of giving is all about ministering to God's people, helping the work of God, helping those servants of God in the work of God. Note then, verse number 5, that he went on to say, this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Paul tells us why the Macedonian Christians were so effective in their giving to missions. It stemmed back to the fact that these believers were first and foremost surrendered. See, God had their heart. And see, my friend, if God has your heart, then He has your bank account. Amen. If God has your heart, then God has your purse and God has your wallet. That's a non-issue. Does God have your heart? Are you surrendered? And the Apostle Paul gives us some insight as to how is it that these believers there at Macedonia could be so generous in their giving, though they had very little, and even though they were persecuted, yet they gave generously to the work of God, and they gave joyfully to the work of God. And the Apostle Paul said, let me tell you why, because these people first gave of themselves. They were a surrendered people. That's why they gave joyfully, generously, to the work of God. Surrender to the Lord is so essential in effective missions giving. Because if God has our heart, then God has everything that we possess. Does God have your heart? If the Lord has your heart, if the Lord has my heart, then God can guide us and God can lead us accordingly. And note then verses 6 and 7, the Bible goes on to read, insomuch that we desired Titus, but as he had begun, he would also finish in you the same grace also. So the Apostle Paul is sending Titus. The Apostle Paul is being very proactive here, and he said, I'm sending Titus to collect this offering that you had promised you would give a year ago. And just to motivate them that Titus is on his way to collect that offering for those believers there in Jerusalem. And sometimes we need a little bit of push as well, do we not? And so the Apostle Paul said, look, I'm sending Titus, faithful Titus, he'll be there shortly to collect the offering in order to pass that on to the church there in Jerusalem. Then note then verse number 7 goes on to say, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. So in other words, the Apostle Paul is saying to the church at Corinth, we want to encourage you believers to grow in this area, in this grace of giving. Just like we need to grow in areas within our Christian life, note then verse 7, in faith. We need to grow in faith, do we not? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We can all grow more in faith, can we not? Trust God just a little bit more. Grow in utterance, grow in our effectiveness in communicating truth. Grow in our knowledge. We can all learn a little bit more, can we not? I haven't arrived in my knowledge of the Bible, have you? No. No, you've realized the more you know, the more you don't know. It's a paradox. It can be discouraging if you're not spiritually minded about it all. There we were in Israel once again, and I thought, well, I was here 2 years ago, and I thought, well, I learned some principles and some facts and figures 2 years ago, and this time round, I learned a little bit more, and then I realized how much I really don't know. How much more there is to know. So 2019, Lord willing, we're going. By God's grace, I'd like to go again if God's in it. Because I need to know, I need to grow in knowledge. And the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, believers, we need to grow in faith, do we not? We need to grow in our communication of the truth, and we need to grow in our knowledge, and we need to grow in this area of diligence, and we need to grow in love, but you need to grow in this grace as well. What's he referring to there? The grace of giving. Giving to missions by grace is a growth issue. It is not a calculated budget issue. That's the tie. That requires no spiritual growth. That just requires you and I being responsible and saying, thank you, God, for blessing me this week. Here is your 10%. That doesn't require any growth. That's just simple obedience. But to give by grace beyond the tithe, in accordance to God's leadership, that involves spiritual growth. The Apostle Paul said that, hey, you need to grow in this area. Obviously, they needed to grow. It's been a year. They promised to give this offering, a year's passed, and they haven't done a thing about it. So obviously they need to grow. And so likewise, we need to grow. Spiritual maturity should be an ongoing process, the Christian life. This area of giving is also an area that we need to grow in. And note then verses 8 and 9. I speak not by commandment. In other words, the Apostle Paul said to these believers, listen, I don't want you just to give because I'm on your back. I don't want you just to give because, I'm pushing the issue by sending Titus to you. He said, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. So in other words, the Lord Jesus said, listen, if you really love the work of God, if you really love the people of God, then you can prove that love by giving what you have. The sincerity of your love. You say you love the work there in Jerusalem, well, you have an opportunity to prove it. We say we love missions. Oh yes, Pastor, I love missions. Who would ever say they hate missions? Something wrong with you. But do we really love missions? Well, it's reflective in your part in missions. Your involvement in missions. To prove the sincerity of your love. So in other words, the Apostle Paul said to these believers, listen, I don't want you just to give because I'm commanding you. You need to do what you said you would do, though that's technically appropriate. But he's saying to these believers, I want you to give because you really love the people of God. You really love the work of God. And you want that ministry there in Jerusalem to continue. And you want the needs of that church to be met. And you want the gospel to go forward as it did originally in the prime of that ministry there in Jerusalem. To prove the sincerity of your love. Oh, our giving ought to be the outward evidence of our love for God and our love for God's people. God proved His love by giving of Himself for our sins. Note then verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world, that was His motivation. God's love for the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So love should be our motivation, because we love people, we love souls, and we love God. We want to obey God and do what God's called us to do. Love should be the chief motivation. But note then verse 10, and herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you. You have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. And verse 11, now therefore perform the doing of it. Diligence, that as there was a readiness to will. So the Corinthians had a desire. They promised a year ago they'd give, but the Apostle Paul said, now come on, where's the beef? Perform the doing of it, as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. You say you want to help, well, let's do it. We say we believe in missions, well, let's do it. We say we believe in reaching this world for Jesus Christ, well, let's do it. Let's get involved in reaching this world for Jesus Christ by supporting missionaries, supporting the work of God. So the Apostle Paul exhorts these believers here to be diligent. Verse 12, for if there be first a willing mind, it accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. It's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Giving to missions does not rest solely upon your financial condition. It's an issue of the heart. It's a proof of our love, the sincerity of our love for God and for others. So the Apostle Paul is trying to encourage these Corinthians, hey, you need to give, and you need to give out of a right heart because you love God and you love the souls of men and you want to obey God because you love Him. And then verses 13 to 15 encourages these believers concerning the fact that God will provide. If you give, God will provide. Note then verse 13 to 15. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, for their need, and that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality, as it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, but he that gathered little had no lack or had plenty. So in other words, the Apostle Paul exhorts the church at Corinth, hey, God is fair, and even within this area of the grace of giving, missions is not a means of overburdening God's people, but God tells us that if we give towards the needs of others, God will provide our needs. Everybody benefits. Give and it shall be given unto you. There in Philippians chapter 4, note there, Philippians chapter 4, please. Verses 15 to 19, the Apostle Paul commends the church at Philippi for their missionary offering towards his ministry and supporting his ministry. Note there in verse 15, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. So he commends this church for supporting him faithfully so he can carry on the work of God. Verse 17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. You've met my needs and God will provide your needs. Verse 18, but I have all and abound. God is providing my needs. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. So God has used you, Church of Philippi, to meet my needs. An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. You've met my needs. Then note verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So there it is. And we love to quote Philippians 4:19. But God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But when you quote it, please listen to me. It's in the context of giving to missions. The context is giving to missions. In other words, if we support missionaries, then God will provide our needs. So if you're going to quote that verse and claim that verse, make sure you're giving to missions. That's the context, is it not? So the Apostle Paul said to these this church at Philippi, hey, you've met my needs, and I can assure you that God's going to meet your needs. And it's with that encouragement the Apostle Paul makes reference to equality. God is no man's debtor. God will provide our needs. So be encouraged. Getting involved in missions giving, it's not as if God is wanting to overburden us and send us broke for the glory of God. Is that our God? Is that our God? No! But if we give sincerely out of love for God and we give in accordance to His will, according to His leadership, then God tells us, you give towards the needs of others and I will provide your needs. I will sustain you. The receiver is blessed in having his needs met. The giver is blessed in having their needs met. Our God is a righteous God. Our God is a God of equality. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So here in chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is trying to motivate these believers to get involved and to do what they said they would do a year ago. Get involved and support this ministry there in Jerusalem. So let me encourage you, beloved, this evening, as we address the issue of missions as a church family this month, let me encourage you to get involved. Get involved according to how God leads you. And be prepared for the fact that God wants us to grow. God wants us to grow in our faith. God wants us to grow in our knowledge. And also God wants us to grow in this area of giving towards world evangelism. May God help us to do our part in reaching this world for Jesus Christ. We can't go to the four corners of the earth, but we can support others that are willing to go. May God give us the grace to move beyond just talking about it, and may God help us to do something about it for God's glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and thank you for the encouragement.